We've returned to News Radio KMAN. It's In Focus. We got about 10 minutes in the program here remaining for the day, and we have Jesse Romo, Manhattan Regional Airport's director, and we're talking about all kinds of things regarding the airport. You've got your Airport Advisory Board meeting that's coming up here in an hour and 9 minutes. What are some things that you're working with there with the advisory board?
You know, we're going to be covering a lot of the things we just talked about. The runway study, of mm-hmm. course, is a big one. And we've got a terminal office project that we're trying to wrap up. The parking lot, as well as just going through the numbers. So mm-hmm. everyone's getting a glimpse of what we're going to be discussing.
One. Yep. Well, they could have just listened and saved you a whole lot of time.
I might replay this for them.
Okay. All right. We'll see how well that goes for you. You know, we saw a lot of pics out at the airport. You know, you had it was kind of a neat opportunity, the B-29 that was here for opening day festivities. Doc, that was a pretty plane.
Doc is one of only two flying B-29 Super Fortresses in the world.
How gorgeous is that plane? I mean, it's
beautiful.
Shiny, and, you know, it just looks like it's restored so well.
Yeah, it was, and it's been restored for the last several years down in Wichita. So mm-hmm. now that it's out there flying, I mean, it is great. And what an honor it was for us to be able to have that and host it on our military ramp. And I know a lot of folks lined up along the fence and were taking a lot of pictures and taking a look at it. And it was just a beautiful thing to see. And when it flew over the stadium, it was nothing else like it.
Yeah, see, I couldn't see it because, you know, where I sit, you know, it was like right over my head. And I wasn't able to see it. But seeing some of the pictures, and some of the pictures I really liked were some that were taken from like the cockpit or the window down below. So as it's flying over the stadium, it had an amazing view.
Yeah, you know, and I wasn't really planning on plugging them, but Doc and Friends is the organization, and they do sell seats and rides, and depending on where you want to sit, up, you know, in the front gunner seat or in the cockpit mm-hmm. or in the back, and I mean, there's just so many different little compartments where you can sit and stare out the window and imagine what it was like to be during World War II and what those mm-hmm. guys had to go through. It's just amazing. I had the opportunity to take a tour of the aircraft when it was static, when it just landed, and, you know, crawling through the tunnel that takes you from the front of the plane to the back, and I was just thinking, man, I was such a tight squeeze. And
did you say crawling?
Crawling through a tunnel in that aircraft. And so,
is that how you get to the front of the plane?
That's how you get. Well, I was at the front, so I started at the front, and I worked my way to the back, but that's one of the ways that you you traverse through. Yeah, so it's amazing what those guys, you know, what we put them through during wartime back then.
Without heaters and air conditioners.
Yeah, all those little amenities that we love.
It's kind of an interesting concept. I don't think I could fly on a plane that doesn't have an air conditioner, let alone a heater like they had to. Because they got up there high, it gave pretty cold, I understand.
Yeah, and you know what? And the there, so many people responded from the community so well to B-29 being here, and they sold a lot of seats. And the talk right now is they want to come back early next year.
Really?
So we may see Doc again, and we may be able to open up the gates to more people to come in and witness and explore the aircraft. So
that's hope that works out.
Yeah, and a lot of those pilots too that were flying are K-Staters, and so mm-hmm. that was another thing. They put the PowerCat sticker on the nose of the aircraft before the so it was great to see them, and I think they'd be eager to come back to Manhattan.
You know, not just K-Staters, but a lot of Kansans. You know, and because I got to introduce them, I remember making those connections with the names, and that was a neat opportunity for a lot of K-State fans. Take a little additional pride.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yet another big plane. Speaking of K-State alignments here on Friday, said United States of America on it.
Another great Kansan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo came in and flew in at that 37 that was painted that blue and white, and it says United States of America. We teased and joked that it was Air Force Five.
Air Force Five.
Air Force Five was out there. So we were happy to have the aircraft there.
Do you know how many planes they actually have that say United States of America on there?
You know what?
On the side like that?
I don't, but they reserve those for some pretty high-level people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. But saw a lot of pictures of that. Get a lot of publicity when people see those planes.
It's exciting to see some planes like that are out of the norm. And you know, we get the occasional C-130 or the C-17.
The big cargoes.
Wow, when those C-17s fly over, I mean, you hear it. Mm-hmm. You hear it. You feel it. You feel that rumble. Even when we're at work, even though we see them all the time, we all still run out to the windows and doors to take a peek to watch come in. So, yeah, it's exciting when we get those kind of aircraft coming in.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about a lot of things. I got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I don't even know what I need to ask you next.
I don't know either, Dave. We kind of got around.
That was easy.
That was too easy.
No, I'm not going to fill in with 5 minutes of jabber here. But so you've got the public meeting coming up on the runway.
We have the public meeting coming up this Thursday on the runway. We put that out, and it's advertised. So it's open to anybody who wants to come out and talk about it. And like I said, that's going to be phased over 2 years worth of time of construction. And we'll do the best we can to mitigate the disruption in air service. And, you know, at some point, though, you need to work on the middle of the runway. And it's going to be a challenge. We also have the parking lot project that we talked a lot about. But one of the things I should remind folks is we're going to put together a air parking management program, a plan. And we'll be taking that back to the future city commission and continue to discuss it and talk through the fees and the implementation schedule. And once this project starts and gets kicked off, it's a 12-month project. So anticipate it'll be done by November of next year. And then sometime shortly thereafter, we'll roll in a fee. So
will this be like automated where you punch in and get a ticket?
Totally automated. Mm-hmm. And we'll be looking too at compatibility with other systems around the city. And as the city's contemplating putting together a parking structure over in Aggieville, and we have the one down in downtown by the convention center. So as long as we can create some compatibilities there, we should be able to, you know, serve the public well.
Mm-hmm. And we're still a ways away from expanding the parking lot. What is your time frame on that?
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a 12-month project. And so there's going to be a lot of phasing done because, you know, if you ever drive by the airport, the parking lot is just packed. And so no matter what, we got to close off a small area, shift people over, and kind of stage out that whole process. So it'll take about a year to get done. So like I said, about November of next year, we anticipate it all be done and ready to go. Mm-hmm. Just in time for the holidays next year.
Yeah. I know, you know, in reading some of the comments on social media, and maybe for those of us in the last 10 years should consider ourselves extremely fortunate that we haven't had to pay for parking in the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Like I said,
that's unusual.
It's a byproduct of our own growth and success. So our demand has been exceeding even our forecast that were done back when, like I said, we were terminal master planning. So just more and more people are flying Manhattan, more people are driving out there and parking. And it's one of those infrastructure projects that it's not sexy, but it needs to get done.
Well, and you and I have had this discussion before. I don't fly very often. When I do, I try to fly out of here as often as I can. And so I flew out here to Dallas and then over to Yuma back in August. And it's the first time I'd been in the building since you've expanded the terminal. And I was blown away. It's just like, wow. I mean, it's just, you know, the first time, you know, that when you rebuilt the terminal here, what, 7-8 years ago? How long ago when that first terminal, the first phase was completed
in February of 2015.
Okay, so it wasn't that long ago.
But
I'm just really impressed, really, really impressed with how it's set up now.
Well, one of the expressions we use in the industry is the airport is a front door to the community. And so we don't have a better front door and entrance for people, you know, than that brand new terminal, as well as the new FBO, the fixed base operator, Kansas Jet Center. Has a brand new facility too that has been built in the last couple of years. And so when we get the VIPs that come in, charter aircraft for athletics or for military, either way, you're coming through a beautiful front door.
Well, you're celebrating 10 years in a great way by offering once again, people get signed up there at the airport.
Yeah, come out, flymhk.com, book your travel today, and sign up to win.
What's your favorite destination spot you've never been to?
That I've never been to?
Yeah.
Ireland. I need a Guinness.
Hmm.
Is it too early?
You can get Guinness here. You know, it's probably just not the same, is it?
I don't think so.
Are you going to time that out around March or something?
Yeah, I need to figure that one out.
Yeah, Jesse Romo's here with In Focus this morning. Thanks for tuning in, joining us, putting up with me.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's been fun. We have tomorrow Riley County Commissioner Ron Wells to be joining us for the full hour here at News Radio KMAN. Next hour, the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation Community Hour will include guests from Metal Arc Hills and from the upcoming 9/11 service, which is two nights away. I'm Dave Lewis of News Radio KMAN. Brandon will be back in the show tomorrow. CBS News is next.